Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here this morning, to be here in your house, to hear your word, to sing praises to you, and Lord especially, that we can be here for each other, for the encouragement, the support that we need as we live our lives in this world as Christians. Lord, we ask now that you would open our hearts to receive your word. Lord, that as we hear your word, that it doesn't just go in our ears and out, but Lord, that we let your word travel to our mind and to our heart so that it does have an impact on our lives and we are equipped here today to serve you in the world. Block out a few distractions that we might have going on in our minds so that we can focus on your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are at the last, Sunday of the Doctrine Matters series that we've been going through. It's not like we're at the end of the doctrine, because there's still a lot more we could talk about. But next Sunday, we'll be picking up with a new sermon series, and so this will be our final Sunday on Doctrine Matters. And I hope and pray that, I know that a lot of people think, you know, doctrine doesn't matter. I just believe in the Bible. Well, when we're saying doctrine matters, we're saying the doctrine that we teach, this is what comes from the Bible. So we're saying that this doctrine is, we draw it from God's Word. We're not just pulling it out of thin air because we want to say something or make a statement of how things are. This is what God's Word has to say in these particular situations. Last Sunday we looked at the two covenants, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Hopefully, I know some of those things that we've talked about the last couple of Sundays have been a little bit hard to wrap our minds around, but yet I hope and pray that even last Sunday as we saw the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, that they're not two separate covenants for two distinct groups of people running alongside of each other, but the Old Covenant was actually not replaced, but I guess, like we talked about, revised a little bit, because God certainly saw that the Old Covenant was not working, and in the sense of not working from His standpoint, but from ours. He could keep His end of the covenant, but man, the Israelite people couldn't. And so He sent Jesus into the world to fulfill all that the Israelite people could not keep, could not fulfill. And so the new covenant picks up with Jesus. So it's one continuous covenant. We just kind of named them the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. So this morning we're going to be looking at three words, faith and then two words, good works, that give people, I think, a lot of problems today. And we say that doctrine matters because in this case here, it certainly matters that we get the ordering of these things right and what they do. And so I was just thinking, the way the world works. And I thought, even though I can't remember back this young, but I remember my boys trying to do these sorts of things. But if you could think back to when you learned to tie your shoes, how did you learn to tie your shoes? Did it just all of a sudden snap in your head and it's done? Or did you blink your eyes and maybe you were some supernatural kid like that? You know, you just blinked your eyes and they were done. Probably not, right? So how did you learn to tie your shoes? You had somebody, okay?
Practice.
All right. Yeah, you had someone show you. And then you worked and worked and worked and probably made a mess and a mess and a mess. And then finally, getting closer and closer, you spent a lot of, I wouldn't say maybe hours, but you spent a lot of minutes at a time trying to get your shoes tied. And eventually, you did what? You tied your shoes. You were able to tie your shoes, but it took some effort and work. I was thinking too, maybe some of you, you know, it was a big deal to be able to dress yourself, right? And to at least pick out clothes that match. Some of us are still not very good at that. But you worked hard to learn to get your pants on and zip them up and button. I mean, you worked hard to do that. If you go into the school years, What do you do to make good grades in school? You work hard, right? You study, you learn, you dig in, you do everything that you can to make those good grades. I was thinking with two-a-days, started this past week for football. I guess maybe volleyball's been going on for a couple of weeks now. For you to get good at a sport, what does it take?
Practice.
Practice and hard work. I mean, it does, you just don't get your team together and be able to go out and compete, at least successfully, if you don't practice and work hard. You get into college. How do you get your degree? You get the point? You work hard, right? And if you don't work hard, you're probably not going to get your degree. When you get into the workforce, to get job promotions and to get advancements and to make more money, what do? You work hard. You get the picture? We work hard to accomplish things, right? But when it comes to our salvation, this is why it's so hard. Because it doesn't work that way. We don't earn favor with God because we've worked so hard. We're not forgiven because we can check off 10 things that you did today that were right. We don't get forgiveness. We don't get the promise of eternal life because of how good we are. And you know, this really comes out for me coming off of a weekend where I was supposed to be a part of 3 funerals, was only able to partake of 1. But when you have funerals, what is it that a lot of people, or a lot of churches, a lot of pastors want to say about a person? How great they were. And it's, I mean, I'm not saying that there's not anything wrong in that in and of itself, but sometimes you can leave a funeral thinking, oh man, that person went to heaven because he was such a great guy. Wrong. We're not. We're all sinful, and we do not have the capability of earning God's favor. We simply do not. So faith is not something that we earn. Faith is not something that we say, oh, look how good I am. And so in our Romans reading for this morning, I think Paul, even though this is there's probably some better passages that could have been used for the text for this, but like I said, we've just been using the readings for that are assigned to the Sunday. And so today it's Romans chapter 10. If we look at verse 5 in chapter 10, it says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them." And what I think Paul is trying to say here in this passage in general is there's two ways. There's a righteousness that comes by the law, and then in a minute we're going to see there's a righteousness that comes by faith. And to me, what Paul is saying right here in this verse, verse 5 of Romans chapter 10, is, okay, you want the righteousness that comes with the law? Then guess what? You better live it. You better follow it, and you better be perfect at it. I mean, to me, that's what Paul is saying. Okay, you guys, you want to live by the law? Then you live by it. If you want to be saved by what you do, then you live by it. But guess what? Can you do that? Can anybody do that perfectly? So then there's the other option that Paul lays out. And he says in verse 6 and following, "But the righteous based on faith says, do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What he's saying here is, folks, we can't find God. We can't ascend into the heavens to get him to like us more. We can't go down for him to come up to us, to get to him. We can't work our way to what he has for us. We can't do it. We live by faith. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? To live by faith, trusting that what he has done for us is enough, is it. It's the only thing. Because Jesus coming into the world, dying on the cross, is what saves us. His forgiveness that he has for us, the promise of eternal life, simply comes from him. It's not because how good I have been. It's not because I helped 10 people last week. It's not because I spoke 20 kind words to people. It's simply because he died for us. He died for me. And so Paul goes on and says, for with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scriptures say, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. Here we have that covenant, one covenant versus two covenants. I mean, there's one covenant that covers everyone. It's Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he goes on in the next few verses, because I think the question is, we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace. We're saved not because of what we do, but we all know that there's scriptures that say, point to good works, right? In fact, what's the most popular verse that most people quote? It's from James chapter 2, and I think it's a verse 17. It says, faith without works is dead. So how do we put that together then? If we're saved by faith, which we are, we're justified because of what Jesus has done for us, what role does good works play in a Christian's life? And so we have to say that they are an outpouring, an outflow, a response to what God has done for us. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have faith, what are you naturally going to do? I think this is what Paul says. What are we naturally going to do? We're going to do good works. Now, flawed as they may be, right? Because we're still imperfect, we're sinners. But we are going to do good works because it's an outpouring, it's an outflow of our thankfulness for what God has done for us. And one of those good works that we do is, to me, laid out for us in verses 14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. One of those good works that I firmly believe that God has called all of us to do is to do what? To share the message of Jesus Christ with others. And it says here, have you ever thought about this? This passage kind of cracks me up a little bit. Because it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news of Christ to people. I haven't seen all of your feet. But I know my feet are not beautiful, and they do not smell good. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, that passage just cracks me up sometimes. But the point is, people who carry the good news of Jesus Christ to people, their feet are beautiful because they are doing the good work that is an outpouring of our thankfulness for what God has done for us. And so we are called, as we're going to find out in joining Jesus on his mission, we are called to go out with Jesus, not for him, but with him, to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the people around us and to the people who are hurting and need to know who he is and what he's done for them. And so faith, you know, I thought about this. What comes first, faith or good works? It's kind of like the chicken and the egg thing. What comes first, the chicken and the egg? Have you ever heard that asked? You know, for me, that's pretty simple because I can go all the way back to when God created the world. What came first, the chicken or the egg? It's obvious for me, the chicken did, right? And then the egg came. But some people get the deal mixed up here. What comes first, faith or good works? And it's faith. Because it's faith that produces good works. Good works doesn't produce faith and doesn't show that you earn God's love. But God works in our lives. He brings us faith. And now our good works flow out of what he's done for us. Let's pray. Lord, we certainly do thank you for this day and our time here this morning. Lord, I do pray that as we have gone through this series that we do understand that there is an importance of knowing what you have revealed to us in your word and what you have taught us in your word. And Lord, that we don't get some of those backwards because we always want to know that what we have is because of what you have done. Whether it's our faith, whether it's the things that we have in this life, it's all a gift from you. And in loving response, in thankfulness, we simply do the good works that you've called us to do. We just ask that you would continue to work in our lives and equip us and help us to be those witnesses, those beautiful feet that take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.